number 9. When you do something wrong, always apologize, even if it's not entirely your fault. We spent the whole rest of the afternoon looking for Lady Serena Archibald in the Housers' neighborhood. Unfortunately, she was nowhere to be found. I thought maybe she'd still be hiding in the garage. Neither Becca nor any of Becca's friends had actually seen her leave the garage. And there were lots of ski boots and coolers and old models of volcanoes, ancient science projects of Brittany's sisters, out there on shelves that she could have been hiding behind. But we looked in and around and even under all that stuff, and she wasn't there. There was really only one conclusion to be drawn, and that's that she had gotten out. Lady Serena Archibald, champion Persian show cat, was wandering around in the wilds of Walnut Knolls. Who even knew if she'd ever come home? I mean, after the way Brittany had treated her, if I'd been her, I wouldn't have. But of course, when Mrs. Hauser got back from her errands, with pizza and cheesy breadsticks for us for lunch, because my mom had warned her about how I wouldn't eat anything red, we couldn't tell that part to her. I mean, the part about why I'd let her cat out. I just said that I'd made a mistake. I said that Lady Serena Archibald had been sitting by the door meowing, which was not even a lie, and I thought it was the door to where they kept her litter box or something, and so I'd opened it and let her out without looking. The whole thing, I told Mrs. Hauser, without being able to look her in the eye, was my fault, and that I was really, really sorry. Mrs. Hauser was nice about it. She was more worried about Lady Serena Archibald than anything else. She called the police and everything, even though I guess they sort of laughed at her because she hung up very fast afterward and said,
"Well, Lady Serena may be just a cat to them, but she's like a child to me."
She also called Animal Control and the Neighborhood Association to ask them to keep an eye out for any stray, long-haired, blue color point Persian cats who might be roaming around. Then we all put our jackets on and started walking around the yard calling, "Here, Lady Serena Archibald! Here, kitty kitty!" and shaking bags of Lady Serena's favorite dry food and tapping spoons on cans of her favorite wet food. None of it worked, though. Lady Serena Archibald didn't come home. The people at Animal Control said most likely she would when she was ready, even when Mrs. Hauser explained that Lady Serena had never been outside before and probably didn't even know how to get home. Even though Mrs. Hauser was nice about my letting her cat out, her youngest daughter sure wasn't. Every chance she got, Brittany leaned over and hissed, "I'll get you for this," which I didn't think was very nice because it really wasn't my fault. I mean, it was, but it wasn't. "I didn't tell," I said to her, meaning about the suitcase.
"It doesn't matter," Brittany whispered back. "I did this all for you anyway. You're the one who's moving. I wanted to make your last weeks here special by making Mary Kay like you again. But now I see why she doesn't. You ruin everything, Allie Finkel."
This was kind of hard to hear, especially since I knew it wasn't true. The truth was, Brittany Hauser was the ruiner, especially the ruiner of cats. At that moment, I was kind of glad I might be moving. I was kind of glad I might be going away and never going to see any of these people again. By the time Mom came to pick me up, the only person who was speaking to me was Mrs. Hauser.
"Don't worry, Allie," she said as I climbed into our car. "I'm sure Lady Serena Archibald will come home when she gets hungry."
It was kind of hard to believe she really even thought this, though, because I could see the tears in her eyes. She was just trying to be brave. She loved that cat so much, even though she'd only had her a few months. The thing was, I could totally see why. If I had let my parents move and give me Musette, I know I'd have loved her just as much. "I really hope so," I said as I buckled up. "I'm so sorry."
"I know you are, sweetie,"
Mrs. Hauser said with a smile. But I could tell that beneath the smile, she was as worried as I was. More worried, even. I really didn't want to make Mrs. Hauser more worried, but I wanted to make her understand what had happened, why I had done what I had done. And I also wanted to make sure that if Lady Serena Archibald did come back someday, she wouldn't need to be rescued again. So I said, even though saying it made my stomach hurt, and not just because I hadn't been able to touch my cheesy bread on account of not being hungry at all after losing Mrs. Hauser's cat. It's just, I really don't think Lady Serena likes it when Brittany plays Lady Business Executive and puts her in that suitcase. Mrs. Hauser looked at me funny and asked,
"What suitcase, honey?"
So I told Mrs. Hauser all about Lady Business Executive. Since Brittany was already mad at me and I was out of missile range, I didn't think it would make any difference now. And it might keep Lady Serena Archibald safe in the future. Mrs. Hauser got very quiet when she heard about the game her daughter secretly liked to play with her cat. And when she learned that was the reason I'd accidentally let Lady Serena outside, she said, in a strange voice,
"I understand now. Well, thank you, Allie. Thank you very much for being honest with me."
Then she turned away and yelled,
"Brittany!"
in the scariest voice I have ever heard. I was glad when my mom got into the car and started it and pulled away.
"What was that all about?"
she wanted to know. "Brittany Hauser likes to put her mom's cat in a suitcase and shake her around," I said, and I just told on her. My mom started to laugh, but then stopped herself.
"Well," she said, "you're just having a banner day, aren't you?"
"What's that supposed to mean?" I wanted to know. I was having to lean against the closed car window because my head was feeling so heavy all of a sudden. I was glad I was the first one being picked up. I don't know if I could have handled it if Mark and Kevin had been in the back seat, talking about trucks and bugs and sports and velvet wallpaper.
"I mean, not only did you lose Mrs. Hauser's cat," Mom went on, "but maybe you'd also like to explain that little trick you did with your rock collection back home."
I perked up at hearing the words trick and rock collection. "Why?" I asked. "Did it work?"
"If you mean, did your entire rock collection spill down from the top shelf of your closet onto your bedroom floor when Nancy Klinghoffer opened the door today at the open house? Then yes, it did work," Mom said.
"Yes, my trick worked. I couldn't believe it. I had planned it so long ago, and it had worked perfectly. We weren't moving. "I hope Mrs. Klinghoffer wasn't injured," I said, trying to hide my delight.
"No," Mom said, "but she could have been. And we'll have to get the carpet in your room cleaned all over again. It's completely covered in dirt and little pieces of rock."
"Geodes," I corrected her. "They aren't rocks. They're geodes."
"Honestly, Allie," Mom said, "I don't know what you were trying to accomplish."
"You said to get my collection up off the floor," I pointed out innocently. "So I put them on the top shelf. Gosh, it's too bad they spilled. I guess we won't be able to move now, since no one will want to buy a house with such a dirty carpet."
"On the contrary," Mom said, smiling. "We've had an offer already, and Mrs. Klinghoffer's expecting two more. There's a housing shortage in this area, you know, which is why they're constantly building around here. And people are dying to move into Walnut Knolls."
Suddenly, my stomach started hurting all over again. I couldn't believe it. My plan, my beautiful plan for keeping us from moving, it had failed. We were going to have to move into the horrible house with the zombie hand in the attic after all. Why did people want to move to Walnut Knolls anyway? They were just going to have to send their kids to school with people like Brittany Hauser. Didn't they know what kind of damage that could do to a child? I guess my mom could tell I felt that way, since she said,
"Allie, I know you didn't like Pine Heights Elementary very much. Or at least, that's what you said. And I know you're not a big fan of the house, but I promise you'll get used to both of them. Who knows? You may even grow to like them. You haven't really given either of them a chance. I know it doesn't look like much now, but let Daddy and me work on the house. I promise you, it's not going to look the way it does now forever. Your room, for instance, is going to be lovely. When you see the window seat Daddy is building for you?
It's not that, I said.
We're doing the very best we can to get you into Mrs. Hunter's class. I know how much you like her.
It's not that either, I said.
Well, it had better not be the zombie hand thing, Mom said in a different voice. Because you are way too old to be believing in ridiculous things like that.
Zombie hands are not ridiculous. What's more, the first people the zombie hand kills are always the ones who don't believe in zombie hands. But Mom, I said, you can't see the zombie hand, not until it wants you to see it. And by then, it's too late.
I'm going to murder your Uncle Jay, Mom said. And I'm not going to need zombie hands to do it either. Allie, there is nothing wrong with the attic of that house. Do you hear me? The next time we're there, I'll show you. And I don't want any more silly stunts like the one you pulled today with the rocks. Understand? Mrs. Klinghoffer nearly strained her back picking up all those geodes. I don't need her chiropractic bills to pay on top of everything else.
Hearing that Mrs. Klinghoffer had had to pick up all my rocks cheered me up. But only a little. Because the truth was, Lady Serena Archibald was still missing. And we still had to move. But the thought of all those geodes spilling down when Mrs. Klinghoffer opened my closet door did make me laugh. A little. Even though I knew I was going to have to apologize later. Because, of course, that's a rule.